MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Taryn Sankar, Head of Credit Fixed Income at Stanlib. Taryn, appreciate the time today. The credit market, it's a giant within the sort of fixed income space in South Africa. It's important for investors, but I think far too often we're not fully au fait with what it means when I wave those terms around. So let's start there. What is credit investing in terms of fixed income, and how's it changed in the last decade or so?
Thanks so much, Simon. So as you noted, credit is one subcategory of the debt asset class. And in a South African context, we broadly define credit as floating rate debt instruments that are issued by an entity other than the government. So there are two features worth noting here. The first is that floating rate debt instruments means that the cash flows that investors receive from these floating rate securities vary over time as the reference rate rises or falls. And so in a period where rising rates generally depress the value of fixed rate securities, the coupons paid by floating rate securities may increase. And that makes them more stable and attractive in a portfolio, provided there are no defaults, which brings me to the second feature of credit that's worth noting. Unlike government debt, which is deemed to be risk-free, these credit instruments present investors with a level of credit risk, as obligations to pay interest and or repay principal may not be met. And so in exchange for bearing this risk, investors demand a higher yield. On your second point around the key changes in the credit landscape over the past 10 years, I'd characterize them as supply changes and demand changes. From a supply perspective, what's been really striking is that there are only a dozen names that are actually regular issuers in the corporate debt market. And so what that means is, while on average we've seen 23 unique corporate issuers over the last decade, we only have seen 13 that have actually issued notes in the last 9 of the past 12 years. And so we really are facing a dearth of new issuers, especially in the corporate credit space. The other feature worth noting from the supply side is, while we might have fewer issuers on average, the credit quality, as measured by the credit rating of these issuers, has actually increased. And so by the end of 2023, more than 80% of the corporate credit market was actually rated AAA and AA, compared to a mere 30% in 2013. So while we have a smaller universe, we certainly are dealing with relatively higher quality corporates. In terms of demand side themes, I think that the rise of multi-asset investing has meant that credit is no longer the purview of specialist fixed income houses. Increasingly, we're seeing it show up in balance fund and multi-asset income funds, which have actually seen a threefold increase in AUM since 2016. The other feature that's noteworthy from a demand side is the rise of bank participation in credit auctions. And this is really a direct response to regulations relating to high-quality liquid assets that are designed to make banks safer following the global financial crisis. And so what we've seen is a sustained trend of banks actually bidding for an average of 25 to 35% of corporate auctions between 2022 and 2024.
Okay, that is giant. I would never have guessed that the banks were involved to that number. As I said up front, I mean, it's a part of the broader sort of fixed income. What do you think is most misunderstood part of the credit investing market, particularly from investors and listeners out there?
I'd say that understanding credit risk in a fixed income fund goes far beyond credit ratings. That tends to be the focus in the discussions that we have with our clients and other stakeholders in terms of the quality of the credit in the fund. But credit as an asset class includes a spectrum of issuer liabilities, ranging from the vanilla, such as investment-grade bonds issued by established corporates, to the more complex, such as credit-linked notes issued by banks. And even within that broad spectrum, credit instruments can be either fixed rate or floating rate. They could be listed or unlisted. They might be secured or unsecured, rated or unrated. And I'm sure this sounds like a lot of jargon to you and your listeners, but there are many nuances when it comes to understanding credit investments. And because of the spectrum of outcomes, it's really important that investors understand exactly what type of credit risk they are exposed to via the funds they own, and crucially, how liquidity and concentration risks are managed in a portfolio context. So I'd really encourage fixed income investors to kind of expand their interrogation beyond credit ratings into liquidity, concentration, and the actual detail of the instruments funds are holding.
That's a great point. I think it's too easy. Oh, AAA, everything's great. It can be AAA, absolutely, but it could be, as you say, it could be concentration. It could be liquidity. That could be the challenge. We've seen the government. What are we now? We're now, what, 3 months, 3.5 months since the formation of Government of National Unity. What's the impact on that been on fixed income markets in general, and particularly the local credit market?
So we've seen an unwinding of the political risk premium priced into South African 10-year CDS, mm-hmm. which have narrowed by close to 90 basis points since April 2024. And what this implies, Simon, is that foreigners are more comfortable holding SA bonds. Yeah. On average, government yields across the curve are down more than 2% post-GNU, which is sizable, right? From a credit perspective, we've not seen a significant uptick in new issuers or volumes on offer just yet, although we do expect a robust issuance pipeline into 2024. The one area that we're watching out that could be quite a significant beneficiary of GNU-related stability is really around the changing perceptions towards quality state-owned enterprises with strong and stable management teams.
I get your point on that, and particularly around the SOEs. Just to go right back up to the top, when you're saying that these are non-government, does that include, it means it's not state-owned enterprise?
So non-government, it would include state-owned enterprises.
Yeah,
so it's generally corporate state-owned enterprises, banks, securitizations, those are the types of issuers that we talk about when we mention credit.
Looking forward, what are the sort of the key drivers or themes that you're looking to perhaps move credit markets in the next year or so as we sort of go through 25 and into 2026?
Yeah, so a lot of investors and market players expect sizable improvements in the economy's performance if the GNU delivers on the reform agenda that's mm-hmm. been promised. And that could lead to a further appreciation of South African assets. Why this is relevant for us as fixed income investors is that confidence, as it translates into higher fixed capital formation, that generally sees corporates kind of pulling out the CapEx projects that they've had on ice for a number of years and returning to capital markets and banks in order to invest that money productively into the economy. And so this return to capital markets, we could see as the cost of capital becomes cheaper, especially as we've seen yields come down. So there's quite a virtuous cycle that could play out if we see momentum in the reform agenda. And then outside of GNU, one of the key drivers that we're looking at post-2025 is the issuance of a new class of bank instruments known as FLAC, which stands for First Loss After Capital. And what's unique about these instruments is that there's a sizable volume of debt that needs to be issued. Mm-hmm. And it's being phased in from 2025, but this could have an impact on the cost of capital for banks, which has ripple effects into the rest of the economy. So we'll be watching that quite closely as well.
Okay, and we'll do a follow-up on that. I'd never heard of that before, so we'll definitely do a follow-up in time. That's Stanlib Sanka, Head of Credit Fixed Income. Stanlib, really appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.